The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. We ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get you up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you, then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you on this very beautiful Sunday morning. I really hope that all of you are continuing to enjoy the summer months here, and make sure that we are always mindful that our time in nature is a way for us to, I think, strengthen our prayer life. So I always try to encourage people on nice days to spend time in nature. And really, today's readings get us to the heart of what is the purpose of prayer. You know, we hear Jesus make it very clear in the gospel today that whatever we ask, we will receive. You know, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And I think for many of us, this is a very bold pronouncement that Jesus makes, and one that we're somewhat confused by. Because typically we fall into two camps or in two modes when it comes to us in our prayer relationship with God the Father. For some of us, we may question what we want to ask God, or we may not feel like our intentions are pure enough, or we may feel that we're being selfish, or we're fearing that we're asking the wrong thing. So we don't freely go to God and ask him what we want because we just don't think that maybe we're worthy of that request for whatever reason. And then the other mode would be us asking God things, good things. Say someone's sick, say you're sick yourself, and praying for healing and strength. And then you don't receive it. You don't receive the answer to the prayer that you want, and it leads to frustration. These two things happen, I think, in a lot of us in our relationship with God, where we feel intimidated to ask, and then we get frustrated when we ask and we don't receive. Yet Jesus says to us, everyone who asks will receive. Don't be afraid to ask. In fact, be persistent in asking. Keep on asking. Jesus gives us the example today of this man who needs loaves of bread for to serve his guests, and he's banging on his neighbor's door. And Jesus says, well, you know, if the guy's just not a nice guy, at least the guy's going to get annoyed with you banging on the door and he'll come down. So there's this understanding that God wants persistence. And we see that, of course, in the famous story in the first reading with Abraham petitioning and questioning God, like, would you be merciful to this city and not destroy it if there's only 10 people there? I think that when it comes to our prayer life and why we may feel like we shouldn't ask certain things or get frustrated when we don't get what we ask, is that in both of those situations, we don't fully understand who the Father is. We don't understand who God the Father is. If we really believe that God the Father is the essence of love, that nothing could possibly exist without God the Father's love, then our way of approaching God the Father in prayer would probably be very different than us always feeling that it's up to us to push God's hand to do something. Who is God? God is infinite. First off, and that is such a massive word or massive concept that there's really nothing we can understand in this timely spaced world that we are in to understand the magnitude of infinity. Maybe the only thing that can kind of get us there is just thinking about, you know, numbers, a number line, right? It never ends, right? You just keep on adding one and it keeps on going on forever. There will never be a time where you exhaust the number line. And it works both ways, right? -1, -2, blah, blah, blah. You keep on going backwards. That might be the only way for us to somewhat grasp the magnitude of infinity. Time, space are irrelevant to God. God is present to all time, to all space. He doesn't know what's going to happen. It's actually him who allows everything to happen, even horrible things. Sin, suffering, that doesn't even escape how God acts. Of course, does God will these things? Does he want them to happen? No, but clearly God allows everything to happen. Because nothing could possibly exist without God's love in the mix. Nothing. A lot of times, maybe when we're growing up, we think that the world's just really caught up between this really good God figure and then this really bad devil figure, right? And we kind of think that they're both like on equal playing ground and they're kind of battling it out. But it isn't an equal playing ground. Because the devil, even, is a creature that God created. The devil is even subject to God. In fact, the devil can't even operate unless he does a perversion of God's creation. Meaning that something that is good, the devil needs to use in order to make it not good. Now, when we get to this place of understanding that God has everything under his watchful eye, then we think about our own lives. And we have to ask ourselves the question, did any of us decide to be born? No. None of us made that decision. Did any of us decide to live currently, right now, in this time of history, in 2019? No. Do any of us decide when it is we are actually going to die? No. But you can get even more particular. Do any of us even decide what's going to happen once we walk out these doors today? Yeah, we may have an agenda of what we want to get accomplished today, but there's no guarantee that that would happen, because there'd be other things that may happen that cause us to have to respond differently. So in a real sense, we're not in control of anything. We weren't in control of our birth, not in control of our death, and really not in control of our life either. And sure, granted, we can do lots of things to create good habits, to be disciplined, to be mindful of how we have to strengthen ourselves, and prayer is definitely a discipline in and of itself. But what is it a discipline for? Not necessarily to show to God that we're paying attention to him. Not to show to God that we want to bargain with him. And definitely not to get God to do something that he wasn't going to do. Because infinity, timelessness, means that God is impossible to change his mind. We can understand God changing his mind maybe on our end, but God is changeless. It's the essence of who God is. Because what is God constantly? Love. Infinite love. Yet how are we, who are finite, meaning in time, in space, subject to time, how are we able to possibly grasp infinite love? There's only one way, and that is by building on our desire. Our desire for God is what opens up our heart to receive the infinite love of God. And desire can only happen if we are constantly persisting in praying, in speaking to God. Because it widens the fullness of our person. It widens our heart to receive God's love. It widens our mind to be open to maybe that our specific prayer is maybe not the way we should be thinking about something. The more we are desiring God is expanding ourselves to fit, if you will, infinity into ourselves. And we realize that that's ultimately how we're designed. The longings of our hearts are far greater than instant gratification. Sure, we may think that it's nice to be able to watch movies on demand, or just yell out to our phone to listen to a certain song at that moment, or just order something so quickly and it arrives in the mail the next day. Sure, all that stuff is convenient, but we do realize that the more we're used to that type of instancy, everything becomes not really that exciting anymore. Everything just becomes too common. And everything becomes too much of being expendable, throwawayable. And our lives start just getting cluttered with stuff that we grab at the very moment we can. Yet, when we're desiring, longing for something, how much greater is it when we receive the gift? Because in a certain sense, the gift can even far exceed what it is that we were even thinking the gift was in the first place. And this isn't just, you know, waiting all through December for your Christmas gift on December 25th, because even that can be thrown away. But the anticipation of being able to receive life. Perhaps the best way to understand this is not seeing your spouse or your loved one for a very long time. And the distance between the two is what makes the longing and desire grow stronger. And the meeting of two people after a long time away is far richer. And you realize that we're made for this type of communion. Recently, I heard a story of a woman who was suffering with terminal cancer. And it was very clear that she had very short time to live. And of course, many people start to pray for her, praying for a miracle. And she even herself was tempted to pray that her health may be restored, that somehow the cancer would be cured. And so there were lots of people praying for this intention. Yet, she realized that she did not have to pray for health. She did not have to pray to be healed from the cancer. There was only one prayer that she had to pray. She had to pray for life. For life. And praying for life is different than praying for good health. Praying for life is different than just praying that you have all your material needs met and securities. Praying for life is meaning that you are so open to God's love that you are fully confident that it is His love that will give you the ability to do anything in the present moment. And that's exactly what the Lord says when He says to us, if we, who are so limited, wicked, as Jesus says, if we, who don't have pure intentions, can still do good things for other people, despite our failures, He says, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Because the essence of infinite love is the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we wonder what the Holy Spirit is, we say it in the Creed every Sunday. The Lord, the giver of life. The Holy Spirit is what allows us to bear anything, any challenges. And despite the limitations and the sufferings that we have to face, we can still have life despite those sufferings and limitations. In fact, this woman ended up living a lot longer than was expected. And she lived life to the full, to the end. That is being a person of persistence in prayer. That is being a person who treasures desire for infinite love. That is a person who welcomes the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, to continue to give life despite the limitations of time, space, and the body itself. So today, at this Mass, once again, we have the opportunity to receive the bread of life, nourishment for the journey, but more importantly, the fullness of the infinite love of God that comes into our very body to dwell. May we pray every day to open up ourselves far, far greater to receive the infinity of God's love in the Eucharist. May God bless you all.